Shivaharidas Thakur ki jai. Prem to go Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Roy Jagadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Swami Kunj Radha Kunj Giri Govardhana ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Tur Dham ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Puri Dham ki jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premananda. All glorious to the assembled deities. All glorious to the assembled deities. All glorious to the assembled deities. All glorious to Sri Guru and Granga. All glorious to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharne Nivasesa Sanyavadi Paspatyade Satana Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam. Shri Guru and Vaishnavam Shah, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Gitam Sam Sachivam Sadvaitam Sadvajitam Parichara Sahita Krishna Jaitam Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vanta Shri Vishakam Gitam Shah Panchakapa Chubhyastraki Vasam Devata Paditanam Pavane Vyoga Shri Vishakam. So it's April 17, 2016 in New Ramamurti, Alachua, Florida, and we're going to be going through Manashiksha, verses 6 through 12. And I got some complaint that we don't have time for questions. The problem is that we're trying to go through a lot in a very short amount of time. So those who really want to get into questions and discussions, you got to come to Gainesville and Krishna House. He's going to force me anyway today. Prime Governor Bruce is going to force me. Today I have to. So then the class will go late, and I can't do anything about that. But if you really want to get into questions and you really want to get into discussions, and we are going to be just all the verses we're talking about today, we're going to be covering Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30 at night in Gainesville. So there we're just doing two verses a day, and then we have time for more discussion and like that. This is all I can do here in 2 days is a summary. I'm sorry. So just a very, very quick recap of yesterday. Somebody can tell me qualifications for this path. Somebody? Humility. Something else? No pride. Huh? No pride. Giving up pride. Something else? Sattva worshipping as guru and seeing the guru as friend and as Krishna's friend. Okay, another one?
Not attracted to Lakshmi Pati,
yes.
Or
liberation. Liberation is like a
tigress.
Actually, just talking about liberation is like a tigress. And what else?
Mundane talks.
Mundane talks is like a
prostitute.
Right. So that was on the actual path. So we forgot some of the qualifications. Also, great love for the devotees, right? All kinds of devotees, holy name, holy places, the mantras. Not being attached to being a
good
person or a bad person. Okay. Seeing Lord Chaitanya as
Krishna
and following the instructions of Guru, but specifically third verse. Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. Right, and then you talked about we got then on the path. And on the path, we have to watch out for the prostitute of mundane talk. Pay attention to what you talk about. Listen to your own talking. What you talk. The tigress of talks of liberation, attachment for Lakshmi Pati. So then we got rid of that, and then on the shining path, there are the
six
enemies. Who are? Okay, and what do they have in their hands?
Ropes.
What are the ropes made out of? Actions. What kind of actions? Wicked actions. And where are the ropes? And they're pulling us around like a dog. Pulling us around. So this again, you've already taken care of your speech. You get pulled around by these wicked ropes. How do we get the ropes off of our neck? Crying loudly, which requires some absence of pride. Crying loudly to?
The devotees of
Bakabid. Not the devotees of Baka, that would be awful. The devotees of Baka beat the killer of Baka. Why the killer of Baka?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. So the crane represents hypocrisy, and when your talk and walk don't match, you're a hypocrite, and you're deceiving others. So first it's about talking, then it's about what you do, whether or not we're deceiving others. So today, this is heavy. I applaud the courage of all of you who are here today, both physically and virtually, and if it gets to be a little too much, we'd understand that you sneak out the back door. And I'm not joking about this at all. I'm not being facetious. So the two verses today on the path are about deceiving ourselves. So these are now people, they're not deceiving others anymore, really. I mean, in a sense, when you deceive yourself, you're also deceiving others. So at this point in Manushiksha, we're talking about devotees, maybe not perfectly, but basically they've got... What do they get in verse 4 to conquer the mundane talk? Do you remember? They got a jewel. A jewel, right? They got this jewel of love of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. These are people who perhaps in verse 3 already have awakened Saravan. They've already awakened, you know, oh, I want to be Krishna's friend or Krishna's parent or Krishna's lover. This may have already awakened in them. It's not ordinary people. It's not ordinary people. Right? So at this point, their actions are good. They're not doing anything wicked. Certainly not having illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, but not doing even ordinary things that are mundane. They really look at them externally, and these people are bhaka. They're good. These are good people. And such devotees are thinking, you know, I've got to get completely purified now. So I'm in the process with my words and my body, and I've really got to get completely purified. I really need to take a full bath. That's what we're coming to in this verse. And as we mentioned yesterday, for those of you who weren't here, that Raghunath Das Goswami in the last verse says you get the jewel of love in Vrindavan if you sing the verses sweetly with an attempt to understand them completely. So we're going to sing them. I don't know how sweetly I will sing them, but we'll sing them. I have a difficulty that when I use my phone as the remote, the text is super tiny. So it's a little hard for me to sing it with all of you. This is to the tune of Jagannath. Yeah, I know, but then I have to do my neck like this.
There's another Jagannath tune, which is a little faster and a little more bonafide.
It's more bonafide. Well, you know what? Why don't you lead it? Well, see, he's doing that other one. We have to give Pushkar Prabhu a mic. You got to teach me this tune after.
I don't care. Do it your way.
You know, I'd like the more bona fide. It's not my way. I'd like...
It's a little quicker.
Well, I think what we'll do, Pushkar Prabhu, and maybe after the class, teach me the other one, and then when I go on teaching Manushiksha, I'll do it the proper way. I'll get it right. Okay, sorry. Then I'm up. Okay. Ari cheta proja kapata kutina ti barakara sharanu tresnat vada hasikatamatmanamapimam. Sara tvam gandharva girihara para prema vilasat sunam bodas nadva tvam apinitara mameva sukaya. O ruffian mind, why do you burn yourself and me, the soul, by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey of full-blown hypocrisy and duplicity? Instead, you should always bathe in the ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari, thereby delighting yourself and me. All right, we've got a big donkey here. Right? It's a big donkey. So this is again about deceiving ourselves about what our own motives are, what our own heart is about. And there are devotees who defeated the six enemies, lust, anger, envy, greed, and illusion. At least in their external behaviors, they're no longer being pulled around by these six enemies. These are people who no longer, you know, blow up and get angry at anybody and, you know, watch some stupid TV show, or, you know, they're not doing that kind of thing anymore. But when they go to take a bath, they're not really willing to take the full bath, the real bath. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, talks about three classes of devotees and the different ways in which they can bathe in donkey urine. Now, I should say that there's one scholar in ISKCON who, before we started on this project, had a lengthy back-and-forth argument with me about how to translate these three kinds of devotees, because this is for the scholars in the audience, because evidently Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a little different explanation in another place. However, we researched and researched. We took probably about a month just making sure that we were getting Bhaktivinoda Thakur right on this side. I feel quite confident that we're presenting this correctly. All right, so the first is the Swanista Sadaka. This simply means householders who are not engaged in ordinary varnashram. They're just doing full-time bhakti yoga. So I think in our Hare Krishna movement, we have people like this. They're not renunciates, but they don't have an outside job or an outside business. They're doing full-time service for the mission. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, everyone like this would have been married. I think in our time, some people like this are unmarried. So they're unmarried, but they're not renunciates. Yes, we have a lot of people like that in the modern world and in our Hare Krishna society. They're not married, but they're not renunciates. They have a nice house, and they have nice furniture, and they have, you know, whatever. But they're full-time in the mission. They're not engaged in varnashram. And we've symbolically showed this by Radha and Krishna are directly supplying all their necessities of life. The picture's a little crisper in the book than they show up on most of the screens. I'm not sure how well you can see that. Now, how do these devotees bathe in donkey urine? Now, what I'd like all of you, and as I said, when I was in Houston, this one very nice Indian gentleman came up to me afterwards and says, Mataji, your seminars are a little crude. I said, well, it's not me, really. It's Raghunatha Goswami. You'll have to talk to him about this. What's good, frankly, about these crude images is you remember them. You remember them, and by remembering them, it's a lot easier to spot them in your life. You know, something will happen in Super Soul, go, there's the prostitute, there's the tigress, there's the donkey, and you go, oop. You know, it's a little easier, right? And if you just say, well, there's the wilted lotus flower or something, you know, it wouldn't have the same impact. So what I'd like you all to think about as we go through these is, what's the thread? What's the thread? What do all these ways of bathing in donkey urine have in common? Okay, so this is the first one. So, wanting sense gratification in the name of offering food to Krishna. I'm going to offer nice food to Krishna, but what's really going on is wanting sense gratification. Serving materialistic persons instead of humble Vaishnavas. So, in the name of service, in the name of preaching, in the name of collecting money, in the name of getting big names associated with the movement, serving materialistic people and neglecting the humble Vaishnavas. Wanting to accumulate a lot of wealth and opulence. This is particularly a problem for the Swanistas because they're not engaged in varnashram. They're just doing full-time bhakti, but they have this desire, and they're thinking, oh, I could use it for my service. This would be so nice if I had it for this project and this, and I could receive fancy visitors in my home. Being engaged in all kinds of twisted and mundane logic instead of spiritual knowledge. So, you know, if I just study spiritual knowledge, I won't be able to, you know, preach to academics, and I've got to really concentrate on logic. Sometimes we see this. I mean, I've seen devotee papers, etc., that rely very little on scriptural understanding, but just on logic. In fact, there was a devotee published a book some time ago where there were maybe in the whole thick book, you know, like true references to Shastra. It was all just the person's logic and speculation. So getting it, what about this, etc. Dressing as a renunciate for prestige. Or having some very renowned simple dress just for the sake of prestige. So these are the ways in which the Swanista Sadaka can be bathing in donkey urine. Now we have the Parinista Sadaka. The Parinista Sadaka is probably the vast majority of the practitioners in bhakti, and these are householders, and we'd have to say in 2016, probably some people who are not married, who are engaging in some kind of varnashram. They have some kind of varna. They're working in the world. They have a job, they have a business, and we've symbolically shown that Radha Krishna are putting all the necessities of life into the briefcase, and I apologize for the gender stereotype roles here, that it's the man carrying the briefcase. And you see here activities of Varnashram, there's people studying, there's respect to the elders, and so forth and so on. These are people who are also very pious in the world. And how can they be bathing in donkey urine? Pretending to be very strict about Varnashram and pretending to be very strict about the principles while having secret inner attachments to all kinds of mundane things. Now, these people are not engaging in gross mundane things, but their heart is absorbed in mundane topics. Their heart is absorbed in mundane attachments, although they present themselves to be very strictly following Varnashram, and very similar to what we saw in the Swanista, preferring the company of non-devotees. Now, this is not going to wealthy people asking for money for preaching, but really being attached to the wealth, because these are people who are making their own money. But they would rather hang out with non-devotees than with devotees. And we meet a lot of people like this. They say, well, you know, the devotees were mean to me the other day, and they weren't there for me when I needed it, which is true, and it happens, and it's terrible, and we should be there for people when they need it. And we shouldn't let our community members down when they have some trauma in their lives. But, you know, I had this problem with the devotees, or they talk too much about Krishna, so I'd rather hang out with the non-devotees. And we symbolically show this as the karmis, the jnanis, and the yogis, and that other devotee is outside, and he doesn't, I'm not sure how well you can see it. The other devotee's outside, and he's like shrugging his shoulders that he's not invited to the gathering. And you see each of these, we have donkey urine at the top, giving the person a bath. All right, now we have the nirapeksha devotees, and the nirapeksha devotees are the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. So these are the renunciates. And how can they bathe in donkey urine? By thinking, I'm a very advanced devotee. You know, I'm a very advanced devotee. I remember going to classes way back when on Henry Street by some sannyasis who the whole class was about how all of us householders were dogs. You know, and we're, the only thing we're good for was digging ditches, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure some of you remember that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I'm the big sannyasi. I'm the renunciate. I'm so much better than you. Right? You know, you have three bottles of shampoo in your bathroom, what a attached. I had one sannyasi member visiting us and taking prasadam at our house. And the next day in Bhagavatam class, he criticized the householders who had play sets in their backyard. We had like a swing set and a slide. And I went up to him, I said, Maharaj, we run a nursery school. But yeah, it was going on. These attached householders who spend money for the... If you just had your own kids, I mean, my God, you can't let them go on a swing. So this is the, you know, I'm a better devotee because I don't have a swing set in my backyard. So this is the donkey urine of the renunciates. And really thinking they're superior to us, mistreating others because of their renunciation and their renounced dress. You know, and we again, we see this. And we see this in every tradition. It's not simply a problem, you know, in ISKCON or in Gaudiya Vaishnava, but in every religious tradition. You find that those, and you know, the big renunciates, they think that they can mistreat the laity because they're superior. This is the donkey urine. And then collecting more food and money than required. Right? Again, in the name of service, in the name of my needs, actually being interested in over-collecting. And boy, this is a big one. What do you guys think? What do you think this is about? We're not a pratista yet. That's next verse. Association of? Women, or for women, men. And what's he doing? He's associating with women, but what's he doing? He's preaching. He's reading the scriptures. So this is a big one. So doing service to attract the opposite sex, right? I remember once at Gita Nagari, there was a sannyasi And while he's playing the mridanga, he's constantly looking over at our side of the temple room. And I was thinking, something's funny with this sannyasi. And sure enough, you know, we played in Hare Krishna. So this is a really big one. And it's a big one, in every tradition. So trying to get subtle and maybe gross sexual reciprocation by being a preacher, by being a teacher of spiritual life. And, I'm helping all these people. You know, I'm helping all these beautiful young women in their Krishna consciousness. And instead of caring for Krishna, befriending materialistic people, hoping for wealth. So you see her altar is neglected, her beads and books are on the floor, and giving up sadhana in the name of preaching again to befriend materialistic people for wealth. And we also see this a lot, don't we? Don't we? Right? People neglecting their sadhana in the name of collecting money for some big project. What, verse? Five. No.
Six.
Six. Has to be three or four. Six. Yes. Okay. All right. And being anxious about collecting wealth. This is also a big one. You know, being anxious collecting wealth while making a pretense of devotional service. So thinking, well, if I go to that person's house to do a program, then I'll probably get a lot of money. But if I go to this person's house to do a program, I won't. And it can even be, well, you know, we're building a new kitchen at the temple and we need a new outfit for the deities, so I should take this engagement and this preaching in order to collect wealth. Being more concerned with external dress and rules and regulations than with devotion for Krishna. And you can see he's again neglecting, you see his altar again with the beads and books on the floors, and he's just into, you know, the silk saffron dhoti and is it properly ironed and, you know, am I exactly saying all the mantras exactly in the right place? And this was the hardest one to illustrate. Neglecting the main purpose of spiritual life while engaged in bhakti. And we've symbolically shown this. I don't know how well you can see it. Can you see the box in the front? You see if there's a box in the front? See what's in the box?
No.
Hearts. Mm-hmm. Yes, so the hearts of these nirupekshas are locked up in a box. So they're apparently engaging in devotion while keeping their hearts in a box. So who's figured out the thread here? What's similar about all these ways of bathing in donkey urine? Any ideas? Excuse me?
No sincerity.
There's not a sincerity of heart. Yes, excellent. Some other thought?
Maintaining deceitful internal.
Internal deceit, yes. Fooling yourself about your own motives, yes. Not trying to please Krishna, yes. Some other threads.
Lack of integrity.
A lack of internal integrity, yes.
But externally showing that I'm a good guy.
Externally, you look good. These people look like saints, and frankly, compared to most people in the world, they are. I mean, just really frankly, somebody at this level, compared to the ordinary people in the world, is saintly. They're extraordinary. They've dedicated their life to Krishna. They're talking about Krishna. They're not doing anything that's wrong. But what's wrong is the reasons why they're doing something. What they're meditating on is wrong. What's driving them is wrong. I don't have time now, but we'll give some more examples on Monday night. And this is something that I'm sure we've all run into, right? We think, oh, I'm doing this for good reasons, and then all of a sudden we say, oh, the reason I'm doing this is really something else. Yes, have we all experienced that? That what's driving me to do this is something different than what should be. My motives for what I'm doing are different than what they should be. Now, this is very subtle and, my dear friends, very, very hard to see. Most people aren't even aware of what they're talking about. Most people aren't aware of how much self-glorification they're speaking or how much they talk about liberation. Most people aren't even conscious of it. And most people aren't even aware of how many wicked deeds they engage in. What to speak of being aware of what our motives are. So the average person has practically no awareness of this at all. But even, we have to say frankly, most of us devotees go through we think we're buying our way back to Godhead. By how many rounds we chant, and you know our tapasyas, and how we put the right kind of pleats in our dhoti, you know, and somehow Krishna is going to keep this score sheet, and take us back to Godhead. You know, we're, it's a pay for heaven kind of thing. And we're not willing to look in our hearts. We're not willing to see what our motives are. And if somebody comes to us and says, you know, maybe you're doing this just for this. No, I'm doing this to serve Krishna. So what is the cure for this? So we already have at this point, again, a jewel. And a jewel is external and localized. So now we have to go into something external and pervasive. We have to surround ourselves. And Raghunath Das Goswami says that we should bathe in the ocean of love instead of in the donkey urine. Now, to do this really requires sada dambanhipa. It really requires giving up pride. Because a person in this position believes, with good reason, that they are a good devotee. Remember that first donkey urine? I'm a good devotee. I'm an advanced devotee. So they believe that, and they have good reason to believe it. And they appear to be bathing. The donkey urine appears to be a bath. And it requires a lot of a desire for authenticity and a desire for humility to look up at your shower head. And I am not going to say what it is. Okay, not recorded. But you can. A blank of a blank is what your shower head is. Yes? Oh my God. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, it burns. If you want to know whether or not you're bathing in donkey urine in the name of spiritual life, do you have a burning in your heart? Do you feel burning when somebody is more advanced than you? Or when someone gets more facility for service than you? Do you finish your japa and just feel this burning in your heart? Then we're bathing. Now, some people, when they feel this burning, they have different responses to it, and that we'll have to discuss on Monday, the improper responses people have to this burning. But the proper responses is to just admit that I've got this blank of a blank as my shower head, and I really have to get genuinely clean. I stink. Imagine how stinky you are if you're bathing in donkey urine. Let me dive into this ocean of love at the lotus feet of Gandharvika Giridhari. Gandharvika is the beautiful artistic singer. Giridhari is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And they have the power to remove this from the heart by really immersing ourselves in a mood of giving. Those who have conquered the donkey urine to bathe in the ocean of love at the feet of Gandharva and Giridhari, their mood is giving. They think, let me just serve Krishna, whether I get money or not, whether, you know, the women, the men revere me or not, whether I defeat somebody in argument or not, okay? Whether my association is just simple people or not. Let me just do my service to please Krishna. Let me immerse myself in this feeling of pleasing Krishna, pleasing Guru, pleasing the Vaishnavas. What would please Krishna the most? How can I imbibe this mood of love? And to be self-aware, to ask Chaitadarpana Marjanam, please take this ocean of love and clean this mirror of my consciousness so I can see what's driving me. And I can get the real bath. So you think, well, that sounds, or maybe like we are done. Well, not quite. Not quite. People on this level, they're bathing in the ocean of love. They're holding a jewel of love. Yes? Not only are their actions good, but they're not doing things for money, for subtler gross sex life. They're not neglectful in the name of preaching. They're not doing any of those things. And they feel like, there's a party going on in my heart. Wow, I'm in an ocean of love with a jewel of love, and there's a party. There's singing and dancing going on in my heart. And they don't look at who's having the party. They don't pay attention to who they rented out their apartment to and who's singing and dancing. Pratishtha swapacharani ime redinated katam sadhu prema sprisati sujir etanam manaha sada tvam sevasya prabhudaita samantamatulam yatatam nishasya twaritamihatam deshayati sa. As long as the unchaste dog-eating woman of desire for prestige dances in my heart, how can the chaste and pure lady of love for Krishna touch it? Therefore, O mind, we should always serve the incomparable, beloved devotee, commander of Krishna's army, who will immediately throw out the unchaste woman and establish the pure lady of love in the heart. Some translations have this as a prostitute. It's not a prostitute. It's not the same Sanskrit word. So the mundane talk is a prostitute. This is an unchaste woman, a promiscuous woman, a disloyal woman. I want you also notice in the Sanskrit sadhu prema, those of you who know Sanskrit, what's odd about that? Any Sanskritist here? What is the word generally?
What is the question?
Prema. It's usually prema. It's not usually prema. This is a feminine form. And so Raghunath Das Goswami is talking about two different women. All right, so we've got this party going on in our heart, and what's being served is dead dog. Dead dog. We're having a feast today, and what's being served is a dead dog. So there are people in the world who eat dead dog. In fact, I gave this seminar a different version for a general audience, and there were some Asians in the audience, and I could see that they were kind of offended by us talking about a dead dog. So there are people in the world who eat dead dog. Obviously, it's a food, but is it a very nice food?
No.
Not at all. Anybody here want to eat dead dog?
No.
So what is this dead dog? It is fame. Fame is like a dead dog. It may seem that it nourishes, but actually it's putrid and it causes disease. And who wants to eat dead dogs? Well, there's this disloyal dancing woman. Why disloyal? Because when we have a desire for fame, then we go to whoever will give it to us, fame and honor. Right? When I'm loyal to you, and I'm loyal to you, then whether you're praising me or chastising me, I stay. But if I have a desire for fame, I only stay if you flatter me. I only stay if you praise me, right? As soon as you don't, I'm gone. And you see in the back the chaste ladies of love, they're looking at the scene and saying, I'm not going to that party. They won't enter the heart. And as I mentioned before, in this edition we've included Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song commentary on Manushiksha. First time it's been published. In his song commentary, he says that this loose woman, this disloyal, unchaste woman, she's dancing with deceit. Her lover is pretentiousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the desire for honor, which we've shown here as trophies in the seed, leads to deceit. So the leaves and flowers here are masks. So why does the desire for honor lead to deceit? Because if we're honest, probably people won't respect us, isn't it? If I come to you and tell you, you know, everything I've ever thought about and done, then you wouldn't have anything to do with me. So I present myself in a duplicitous way. I present myself as being better than I am so that I will get honor, isn't it? Is that the main reason people lie? They don't want people to see what they're really like. And all three of the sadhakas have to be aware of this. What is the main thing that a person at this level of Krishna consciousness wants to be honored and famous for? Okay, they're talking about Krishna. They have a jewel of love. They don't do any wicked deeds. They've been saved by the devotees of Bhakabhid. They are not even doing their service for money or to attract the opposite sex. They don't have any desire to associate with non-devotees rather than devotees. They're respectful to the devotees. What do they want honor for?
Preaching.
Attachment to Krishna. What else? knowing the Shastras. That's what they want honor for.
I'm better than others.
I'm better than others. They want honor for being a great Vaishnava. Now, my dear friends, are they a great Vaishnava?
Yes.
They are. Persons who come to this point are rare in the world. This is rare. But there's this desire. See how rare I am? Did you hear how many slokas I quoted? And how I said all the Sanskrit perfectly? And how devoted? I don't even care about money. I don't even care about the opposite sex. I don't even have too many possessions. See how renounced I am? I don't even travel with a suitcase. No, I am a great Vaishnava. See? Did you notice? That's so subtle. So subtle. Because you think, well, of course I have to have people respect me as a Vaishnava, otherwise how can I preach if they don't respect me? Right? If they just thought, oh, here's some useless worm in the stool, how could I do my service? So it's important that I have a good reputation for my preaching. And I'm swimming in the ocean of love. No, you're not. Really? It hasn't gone inside. So what's the cure for this? Now, you can't just go to any devotee to be cured for this. This is deep stuff. For this, you need, you know, the top cardiologist. You got to fly into the best hospital, the best cardiologist. You've got to go to the generals. The generals in Krishna's army. And ask them to throw out this disgusting party that's going on. Deceit, dancing with some unchaste woman, eating dog meat in the heart. And the generals, they will throw them out of the heart, the army generals. By their grace, Krishna says, get out. And then the heart becomes a beautiful city. The chaste lady of love, Sadhu Prema, can enter the heart. Why the generals? Because somebody with the promiscuous dancing woman and the dog, they think they are the general. You follow? Such a person thinks, I'm a general in the Lord's army. The way to throw her out is to serve the real general in the Lord's army. Do we want to serve or be served? When we come to our natural position that I am a servant, let the honor go to the real general. Let the honor go to the real general. Then Sadhu Prema enters the heart. Bhaktivinoda talks about how we can serve the devotees through embraces, through the dust of their lotus feet, their food remnants, this is child Narada, their foot bathing water, Krishna with Sudama. And the spiritual potency then flows from the heart of a great devotee into our heart. And the Sadhu Prema enters the heart. This oil painting is based on a description of midday Leela, when after swimming in Radhakund, the gopis are dressing each other for Krishna's pleasure, not like an ordinary woman dresses herself so that she can control men through lust and women through envy. But these ladies, they're dressing simply to please Krishna. And wouldn't it be nice to have this going on in your heart? We'd be like, who do we want to have in the heart? The dirty, disloyal woman and the dead dog and the man with the masks? Or would we like these ladies in our heart, preparing our heart for perfection? So now we're done. Now we're done with the heavy, crude, gross stuff and the heart-wrenching heart surgery. It's over. Now we're at the door of perfection. Okay, ready? Yata dustavane dav yatu sasa. I can't read it that at all. There. Yatamayam premamritam apidada chujvalamasho Yata shri gandharva bhajana viraye Tata goste katva giridharamiha tvam bhajamanaha. Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature, give me the glowing nectar of divine love, and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Giridhari here in Vrindavan. What is gone in this verse? What's gone? Pride. How do you know pride is gone here? I'm admitting. There's no more I'm a great Vaishnava. There's no more I'm a great scholar. There's no more I'm doing this in the name of preaching, Prabhu. Of course, I have to neglect my rounds to collect money. That's gone. It's all gone. Pride is gone. And here one is asking for three blessings. Although I am wretched and a cheater, your mercy can drive away my wicked nature. We're so afraid to say I'm a wretched cheater. We think we'll have low self-esteem and everybody will kick us. But it's only when we say I'm a wretched cheater that the Lord's mercy can fill us. And the next thing is to ask for the glowing nectar to drink. Now the mercy is where? Where is the mercy now?
In the heart.
Inside. We had a jewel, we had an ocean. Those are both outside. Why couldn't the mercy come inside before? The heart was all dirty. The heart was full of this lady and her dog, dead dog, and it was bathed in donkey urine. And it was being stolen by a prostitute and eaten by a tiger. There was no place for the glowing nectar to come in. This is just one glowing nectar. As we go further into perfection, it becomes variegatedness. And Radha and Krishna are pouring this glowing nectar into the hearts of the devotees who are free from deceit. And the rays of the Ladini Shakti enter into the heart and they light up the heart. Gyanadipena Bhashvata. And now the full swarup of the devotee is revealed, perhaps gradually, but still actually revealed. So maybe in verse 3 there was swaragam, there was the beginning awakening of a predilection for Krishna and a meditation on Krishna, but now one really fully knows who one is. So we ask for the mercy to drive away our wicked nature, the glowing nectar to drink and fill our heart, and asking, please engage me, Krishna, in the worship of Gandharvika. Mahatmanastumam partam daivim prakriti mashritam. Give me the shelter of your internal energy. And here Krishna is taking the devotee who's now realized their eternal nature and giving them to the care of Gandharvika. And our artist, Ganjana Prabhu, I really like the mood he has in this painting. Such a sweet, kind mood. And the devotee prays, O Devi Gandharva, falling on the ground like a rod, I, an extremely distressed soul, beg you to please count me as one of your near and dear ones. When will I dress you in a cloud-colored sari? When will the servant be able to massage the feet of Radha Krishna? Bhaktivinoda reminds us that in order to serve Radha Krishna, one has to take shelter of her maidservant. So we have this running theme in the Manashiksha of taking shelter of the devotees. All right, so now we have the glowing nectar to drink. We're under the care of the internal energy. The Lord's mercy has planted a garden even in our heart of wickedness. So now we're going to come into what is the specific kind of meditation that a realized soul will engage in. And remembering this is also applicable, certainly on some level, even to the beginner. Okay. Marisha Natatve Rajavipina Chandram Rajavane Swarintam Natatve Taratula Sakitve Tulalitam Vishakam Shishali Vitarana Bhut Vekriyasaro Kiringo Takreksha Lalitara Tidat Vesmamanaha. O mind, meditate on Krishna, the moon of the Vrindavan forest, as the Lord of my leader, Sri Radhika. Meditate on Sri Radhika as his most dear object of love. Meditate on Sri Lalita as her incomparable friend. Meditate on Sri Vishakha as the foremost guru distributing the teachings of love. And meditate on Radhakund and Govardhan as givers of the sight and love of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So this advice is being given to those who've awakened their desire to serve Krishna in the mood of one of Srimati Radharani's assistants or friends, because Raghunath Das Goswami is one of Srimati Radharani's assistants. So therefore he's specifically saying meditate on Krishna as the Lord of Radha, Radha as the beloved of Krishna, Lalita as the friend of Radha, and Vishakha as the guru, and Radhakund and Govardhan. Now suppose somebody had awakened to a feeling of being a cowherd boy. What would their meditation be? Who would they meditate?
Shridham,
Subal, and Krishna Balaram. Right? Suppose you'd awaken to parental love to Krishna. Well, who would you meditate on? Mother Yasoda. Who else? Rohini, Nandamaj, maybe Mukhara, Upananda. So there are different... this is a template that's a discussion of Raghunath Das Goswami's own feeling. So it would be applied differently depending on how you awaken. But of course, everybody is also meditating on Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishakha, Radhakunda, and Govardhan. Especially Govardhan is a source of meditation for all the residents of Vrindavan. And here Raghunath Das Goswami is saying how to meditate on each of them. So this is our painting. This is from Ananda Vrindavan Champu of a forest fairy of Vrinda, bringing a drink, giving it there to Vishakha, and you have Lalita and Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the moon of the Vrindavan forest. Krishna as the Lord of Srimati Radharani. Radharani as the beloved of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a prayer. Devi Radhika, the servant of yours has fallen immensely into the depths of various oceans of distresses. Through the amazing boat of your strong mercy, kindly rescue this servant and make her attain the liberating shore of your lotus feet. Vishakha as the teacher, the guru, teaching the gopis how to tear in this picture, decorate with flowers. As Ramananda Roy, teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in Radha's mood. And for Vishakha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us prayers identifying Vishakha with the Jamuna, how she saves us from entering the abode of her brother Yamaraj. So this is Suryadev with his children, Yamuna and Yama, the beautiful Yamuna. Bhaktivinoda has so many prayers to the Jamuna Astika. Lalita as the incomparable friend of Srimati Radharani. You see her here as Radha's friend, Radha's advisor. Radhakund as the giver of the sight and love of the divine couple. Govardhan also who gives the sight and love of the divine couple. And there's also a running theme of Govardhan through this book. So again, these meditations, even if you know you've only been a devotee for a month, you can also, you know, meditate on Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishakha, Radhakund, and Govardhan. This is not only for the advanced devotees, but the advanced devotees are meditating according to their specific mood. Okay? Ready? Pratim Gauri Leya Pitapati Sundara Anai Sachi Lakshmi Satya Pai Babati Sobhagya Malanai Dravali Mukanami Navrajasati Shipacharya Tamhari Daitara Nambajamana. O mind, offer your worship unto Sri Radhika, the beloved of Lord Hari. She outshines Rati, the wife of Kamadev, Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, and Leela, the potency of Lord Vishnu, by the effulgence of her beauty. She defeats Sachi, the wife of Indra, Lakshmi, and Satya, Krishna's wife, by the waves of her good fortune. She defeats the pride of the newly married gopis of Raja, headed by Chandravali, through her power to control Krishna. So here we are taking shelter fully of the Ladini potency of the Lord, Radha Krishna, one in their identity, yet eternally separated for pastimes. She who gives pleasure to the Lord and nourishes all the devotees. And here she outshines Rati, Gauri, Leela, Satya. All the demigods and all the great goddesses are worshipping her. As Bhaktivinoda said in his commentary, she is the moonlight of bliss for the white lotuses. She is as fair as a bright yellow color and garments like a blue lotus, braids that look like a snake, very appropriate for today, how Radharani was dressed. With her braid, doesn't her braid look like a snake today? Always, huh? Really today, like that. She is the beloved of her father, Vrishabhanu. And our painting for this verse, she outshines all the damsels of Raja. And this painting, this never before, I couldn't find anywhere ever. I've actually looked for years. This Leela has never before been depicted. This is where Krishna returns to Ras Leela. And we have it in this smaller book here. In the back, we have all the verses from the Bhagavatam and from Ananda Vrindavan Champu and Gopal Champu, exactly how the gopis receive Krishna when he returns to Ras Leela. So these are the eight principal gopis. These are not Radha's eight gopis. These are the eight principal gopis. And how they're all receiving Krishna. And there's Radharani. And she's in what kind of a mood? Can you see from the painting? Can you see what kind of mood Radharani's in? Can't see so clearly. So she's in a little angry mood. A little angry. How dare you leave Ras Leela, Krishna? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, climb in the boat of the Sakhi's mercy. Oops, sorry. It says, climb in the boat of the Sakhi's mercy and sail into the ocean of love. We will find the lotus feet of the daughter of Vrishabhanu Radha. So at this point, we're really drinking this shining nectar. It's filling our heart. And now, as one meditates on the devotees who exemplify their own mood of love and one fully takes shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, then that shining nectar differentiates. Each of us have our own eternal service. And again, this is a verse that can apply to beginners, because even somebody one day in the movement will do all of these services. But for one who's in an advanced level at this verse, the next verse is going to be talking about how we have individual and differentiated nectars, not just one shining nectar, but five. Saman Chirupena Smara Viva Lakta Nagiri Bhritur Raja Sachat Seva Lahana Vidaye Tadkana Yuja Tadi Dwana Shravana Nati Pancham Vrita Idam Dayam Nitya Govardhana Anudinam Tvambhajamanaha. O mind, you should every day drink the five nectars, worship, glories, meditation, listening to divine pastimes and offering obeisances, and worship Govardhan according to the rules. In this way, follow the instructions of Sri Rupa and attain the direct service of Sri Sri Radha Girihari, who are captivated by the god of amorous love in the company of their associates in Vraja. And we really worked on this translation. Do you do this in the associates and get Radha Krishna, or do you do it and get Radha Krishna who are with their associates? Or do you worship, do you do the five nectars in general and worship Govardhan, or you do the five nectars as your worship of Govardhan? And there are many different ways of translating this verse, and we really spent a lot of time, especially referencing the commentary, before we really decided that this would be the most accurate translation, and hopefully Raghunath Das Goswami is pleased with this. So here are five nectars: worship, glories, meditation, listening to divine pastimes, and offering obeisances. And again, you can see how these can be done by anybody. These can be done by anybody. But at this point in the Padati, we're talking about someone who's fully realized their swarup, and they're engaging in these according to their eternal nature, fully living in Vrindavan. To congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord, at least mentally living in Vrindavan, to offer prostrated obeisances, 8-point obeisances before the deity or any object that brings out our remembrance of the Lord, to meditate on the divine names, form, qualities, Krishna's associates, Krishna's pastimes, to taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of pure devotees, and to bathe Govardhan with these 5 nectars. And these 5 nectars should also fill our heart and our life. And following the rules to worship Govardhan. Of course, one can worship Govardhan by worshiping a Govardhan Shila, by meditating on Govardhan, by going to Govardhan, circumambulating Govardhan. But in some way, to be calling out to Govardhan. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami received a Govardhan Shila from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, and we've chosen that as the cover for the book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving Raghunath Das Goswami his Govardhan Shila. And why Govardhan? Because there, Krishna is always surrounded by his friends, and Radharani always by their friends. This is a holy pastime, like Govardhan. The only music I have in this presentation. A few people say to me, your Ram Chandra one was awful in music, they didn't have it in this one. Maybe next time I shall. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his commentary on this verse that generally one first does some service at a distance, and then while gradually serving the assistants from a distance, we get service that brings us closer to the Lord's intimate associates, and then we gradually achieve direct service. But as this is the inner path, as this is the inner path of spontaneous love for Krishna, so one continues to do things like put on tilak, take charanamrita, just as the devotees who've not yet awakened to perfection. So the outer duties continue. So now we're done, and we come now to the blessing. Mana shikshara disha shakavarametan madaraya gira gaya chuchai samadhi gata sarvataya tiya Sayuta Shirupani Gaiha Bhavan Gokulavane Jano Radha Krishna Tulaba Jana Ratnam Salabhate. Becoming a follower of Sri Rupa and his companions, one who with a sweet voice loudly recites these 11 supreme verses which give instructions to the mind and strives to understand all of their meanings completely, obtains the incomparable jewel of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the forest of Gokula. So here is the benedictory verse. The jewels, we have Krishna's earrings here. Krishna likes to wear dolphin, shark, or mockery earrings. Following Rupa and his associates, as Rupa Goswami received instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wrote those instructions, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadesh Amrita, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who wrote Mana Shiksha on the bank of Radhakund. And this verse can be translated either do this in Vraja, or by doing it you will obtain Vraja. Or both. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary goes extensively into the glories of Vraja. And he says, Radharani has some pride about Vraja. Her pride is, this forest is mine. May that Vrindavan forest be my shelter. And of course, our only entrance into this path is through Srila Prabhupada, whose entire Hare Krishna movement is the personification of the inner path of Raghunath Das Goswami to attain the love of Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan. So thank you very much. Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So on the absolute order of Prang Govinda Prabhu, we are taking some questions, although as I said, we'll have more time for discussions In Gainesville, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30. We'll be doing this bit by bit. So tomorrow we'll be doing just 6 and 7. Then on Tuesday we'll be doing 8, 9, 10. And on Wednesday we'll be doing 11 and 12. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. Yes, Jim Master.
You made the point yesterday. Is it okay if I asked them yesterday too?
Of course.
Okay. About how devotional service, we shouldn't at all be concerned with the external results. That's not what's required to please Krishna. Did I get that right?
I don't think so, but probably something close.
In other words, if we just try to...
About success and failure. I think that was with Jatayu.
Well, I just recall you making a point that that the results, the external results,
are not the measure of success.
That's it.
That was on the presentation on Ramchandra about Jatayu, yeah.
Okay. So, one thing is that being a Sankirtan devotee for many years, Prabhupada did very much emphasize results.
The external
in that
results, yeah.
Service, he often would say, Helena Puri Chiyate, that you can judge a thing by its results. And certainly, in his days with us, he was really pushing the development of the movement, and it seemed that that was a key factor in pleasing him to offer results.
Wonderful question, yes.
So, your point is well taken, but then on the other hand...
You have to get the other hand. So the other hand is one of the 26 qualities of a devotee. Which of the 26 qualities of a devotee relates to what you're bringing up?
Expert.
So it's not that because I'm a devotee, I don't care about the results. Jatayu wasn't trying to lose. He wasn't like, Ram's pleased if I just kind of show up and hang out here. He was trying to win. He was endeavoring to win. I was once in a temple where two different times in my life in the Hare Krishna movement, where the cook didn't believe in recipes. All you needed was bhakti, She made avocado halva. Oh my God. Hare Krishna. We're supposed to try to be expert. We don't intentionally give Krishna the banana peels. We don't say, Prabhupada, I went out, but I was not attached to how many books I distributed. So we'll say I just sat down and chatted Bhagavad Gita slokas, and anybody who wanted to come but to get a book, they could just get one. Because, I'm not concerned about the result, that python and the Bhagavatam, so I'm kind of like that. I'm just lying down. There was, before the internet, there used to be a publication, a devotional public, I forget the name of it. But in the back of it were personal ads that you were advertising if you wanted to find a life partner. And one of them said, Mike, sometimes I wish I was making up these stories. Anyway, I'm not. This was somebody who wrote it. He said, my favorite service is to sleep and dream about Krishna. Are you kidding me? Will you marry me? It's like... But you can't really judge. When we say we judge by the result, what are the results? This is the same thing that that Jesus said. He says you judge a tree by its fruits. If you say I have a fig tree and there ain't no figs on it, either it's not a fig tree or it's sick. And Prabhupada would give the example. He said if you say you're eating but you're not nourished, he said either you're not really eating, like you're chewing gum maybe, or you've got parasites in your system. What is the result? Judge by the result. What's the result we're looking for?
Pleasing Guru.
Like Prabhupada said in Atlanta, Prabhupada, how can we please you the most? You thought that he was going to say, distribute 500, Bhagavad Gita's in an hour. And what's going to be where in this Manu Shiksha is the external result without the internal purification. Which verse? Or which metaphor? Which metaphor is the external service without the internal purification? Motive is wrong. Which metaphor? The donkey urine. And Jiva Goswami says those who are intentionally inattentive in their service will start judging their advancement by external results. And we'll talk about this more in Gainesville, we'll have more time. But what is the effect of this donkey urine and this burning? And one of them is that I must be an advanced devotee because I have distributed 10,572 books. And let's see how many rounds I've chanted. Okay, let's see it. 16 every day, and a codicil 64. And let me add it up, and I'll calculate it. You know, oh my God, I have chanted 567,372 rounds. I am an advanced devotee. So we have to be very careful when we say judge by the result. What are the results? The results are 26 qualities of a devotee. The result is Trinadapi Sunichana. The result is the shining nectar of Krishna consciousness is filling our heart. You might be bedridden and in a wheelchair and you can't do any external results at all. And you may be having all the fruits of bhakti, and someone else may be building 100,000 temples and distributing tons of books and making all these life members and bringing in all this money, and their hearts burning in the donkey urn. You've got to be careful. The fruit we are looking for is not external. Now, if I want to get the internal fruit, I've got to try to do things nicely externally too. Otherwise, where's my bhakti? Where's my bhakti, you know? Putting together this prayer, if I just like slap something together that you couldn't even read it. You know, when I was teaching the teacher training course, one of my students was putting so much text on one slide. Well, you're a teacher, you know. How much care you take, right? How many hours of care you take, and the background and the color of the font. You know, putting this book together, there's still mistakes in it. You will find mistakes in it. We do have still some diacritic mistakes. At least it's print on demand, so then we can fix it and use it. But you know, you combing through, and do we have all the diacritics right, and are the captions showing up, and the right color on the pictures, and right? You want to be so careful. And numbers too, why not? How many preps you offer, how many devotees you make, how many books you distribute, how many temples you open. But don't think that's ultimately the result. That, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble. And Jatayu pleased the Lord. Yes? We asked this. Was Jatayu a success or a failure?
Success.
Was Bhishma a success or a failure?
Success.
When the cowherd boys, they followed Krishna's order. And they came back and they said, how is nectar turned salty? What was that, Leela? What was that, Leela? Nectar turned, that's Ananda Vrindavan Champu says that. They come back to Krishna. They said, we followed your infallible order, but how is nectar turned salty? We are a failure.
When
they went to the Brahmanas, were they a failure?
No.
Oh. What about when the cowherd men were trying to keep the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill and they couldn't? They were trying. It said they were baffled and angry at their failure. We can assume the cowherd men don't generally fail. They could not keep those cows on the top of Govardhan Hill. The cows were running with joint front and rear legs over the boulders. And the cowherd men were going after them with their sticks. Baffled and angry and frustrated at their failure. Were they a failure? What was the glory of that Leela to show how much the cows loved Krishna in the form of their calves? They were willing to run with joint front and rear legs. Did Prabhupada please Krishna less in Jhansi than he did in Juru? No. What was the external result in Jhansi? Practically nothing. The external result in Juhu is going on and on and on. time. But was one more of a success than the other? The success is, do I please Krishna? Do I awaken to my love of God? And that anyone can do. You can do it if you're an invalid in a wheelchair. And you can't do anything external in the world. You know, you're struggling just to chant 16 rounds every day. Maybe it takes you 4 hours to, you know, I know some deaf devotees, where we wrote an article about them in Back to God. You know, some deaf devotees that takes them 2 hours to chant 4 rounds. And that took years to get to the point of being able to chant 4 rounds in 2 hours. Because how do they chant? They've been deaf since birth. They have to chant by visualizing each name of the mantra or visualizing the deities. What's their result? Do you think they're ever going to chant 64 rounds? I don't think so. You know, Prabhupada once put on the back of an airplane seat a crude drawing of Krishna done by a 4-year-old and he was meditating on it. Now that doesn't mean Pushkar should paint like that. Well, we're not judging by the external result, you know, just paint stick figures. So if you love Krishna, you're going to try to be expert in your service as far as your capacity. You're going to try for the external result, and you're going to work hard to get the money to build the temple, and you're going to work hard to distribute books, you're going to try to do your service expertly. But don't look at that as far as are you a success. Look at how your heart is changing. Look at how your motives are changing. Notice who's having the party in your heart. You know? Look up and see what your shower head looks like. That's how you're going to judge. That's ultimately how you're going to judge. Is that all right? Does that answer your question? You have one more.
It's along the same lines. There's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Balabhanta in 1974 when he was a temple president in Atlanta. And he said that you should do your service in the mode of chasing rhinos.
Yes.
But take protection of Krishna in this mode. So he wanted us to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. 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 There's another letter that I don't have to memorize where Prabhupada says something about the whole purpose of the externals is just to give us some practical application of the philosophy. And if you just preach to one person a day, that's enough. You know, you don't have to kill yourself by trying to do some big program you can't maintain. But thank you so much for bringing that up. Very important. Any other question? Yes. So scary to be in Alachua with all these.
Just as you were speaking yesterday and today, I was noting that it seems that although I may be at one level, still challenges of other levels beyond that are still there. But can I actually hope to accomplish anything on those other levels, even though I'm not really there? I have to come just a little bit.
I'm trying to get what your question is.
In other words, like, you know, there's very more advanced devotees, maybe, you know, watching for a particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
And those on the lower level are looking at other problems. But can one, as advanced, be looking at all levels?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Now, let's say we got rid of the root. Say you went right for the root. Pratidasha, the desire for prestige. Go right there. You're going to knock out everything else in one. That'll be it. Get that dancing lady and her dog out of your heart, and her lover of deceit is also out of there. And you don't have to worry about the donkey urine and the thieves and the prostitute and the tigress and any. They're gone automatically. Most of us are not willing to confront that lady that early on in the process. So most of us go somewhat step by step. But also, even though we're going step by step, I don't see, no matter how you look at the process of bhakti, that you can put individuals into boxes. I just don't see that. I mean, and as a teacher of kids for so many years, it's not like that. You know, you'll have a kid who's, I was just in our school in Houston, and they had a second grader who was doing algebra. That's a 7-year-old, you know, 7-year-old kid who's doing algebra. But he wasn't reading Shakespeare. So his reading was at a 7-year-old level, but his math was high school. And that kind of mix is also common in us. So I may have some advancement at this level and some advancement at this level and some problems at this level. We get to a point where everything's there, but we do see that. We do see that we're not necessarily strictly at one level. Does that answer your question? Is that what you were asking? I'm not quite sure if I got what you were asking.
Yes, but a little bit more to it, that you know, one is confronted by one's specific thing he has to deal with.
Yes.
But other things are going on at the same time as one angel he's dealing with. And you just say, I'm not so pure that I can deal with higher things, so just forget them.
Well, that's also relevant. You know, one needs to deal with where one's at. So if the main thing we start noticing is, wow, my talking is really not very devotional, if that's what we can become aware of first, the way I speak and what I talk about, my subject matters, what I listen to, it's even when I talk about Krishna, it's in a way, I was giving this example of this devotee who was talking to me a while ago about service, and half of what the person said to me was self-glorification, and very extreme also. I'm the best devotee in the world to do this service. No one is as good as me. And that devotee does it, but they have this fault. I mean, it was really extreme. And I'm sure, absolutely sure, that this devotee has no conscious awareness that half of their speech was just simply like that. So maybe we first become aware of that, and maybe if we have problems with lust, anger, greed, and donkey urine, and dead dogs, maybe we're not going to worry about that today until we take care of the prostitute and the tigress. Is that what you're asking? You know, that I can see I have those other problems, but let me take care of where I'm at right now first. That's totally fine.
I may just say, curious question. What I understood from a gradual progression, that lust, greed, anger is biggest obstacle, and then even though I may conquer these, but then Raghunath Das Goswami is putting a question that, yes, you conquer that, but you forgot to conquer the prestige, distinction, adoration, which is actually highest level.
Yes.
And then going to higher trouble, that the self-deception mentality is literally has to go.
Yes.
But when I confront the simple-hearted, that actually I'm just loyal servant of the servant.
Yes.
And I want to. So if somebody focus on that to the top,
will everything else go?
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. If you went to the root. Now, you have a problem. Well, there's a problem, though, Prabhu Govinda Prabhu. There's a problem that many times if we think I'm just going to go to the root, that I'm the servant of the servant, I'm going to serve the army general, that these other things may still be there. So, you can do that. Therefore, Prabhupada says you can become Krishna conscious in a moment. You could go right to the root with this desire for prestige and take everything else down. But generally, that's very difficult because you're still so much in self-deception that you think you're going for the root and you're not. Does that make sense? You know, you think I'm doing this as a servant, but really you're doing it to get money. Really you're doing it to impress the opposite sex. Really you're engaging in materialistic activities in the name of service. Really all you're doing is talking about self-glorification. So it can be a problem with people. This devotee who is just glorifying himself, I'm sure, absolutely sure, that this devotee feels that they are going to the root. I know this person. I'm sure that's what they think. But they haven't even taken care of the prostitute yet. So there's something to be said for building your foundation before you build your roof. Now, because Krishna consciousness is the natural proclivity of the soul, it is possible to build the whole house at once. That's possible. You know, I know there's charity things where some, you know, person got their house burned down and a whole crew comes and builds the house in a day, right? You've seen that kind of thing? That's possible. It's not impossible. It can happen. You can go through these stages so fast that it's almost like you're going through them simultaneously. That's possible. But for most of us, the first thing we should look at, jiva do. The first thing we should look at. What do I talk about? What do I listen to? Make sure we have that right. Then what do I do? Then why do I do it? Then what's the engine that's driving the whole thing? Because we're not going to be very prepared to confront the engine if we haven't taken care of the others, and we can deceive ourselves about whether or not we're confronting it otherwise. So. But you can also work on, I mean, it's not that you only have to work on what you're talking about and you can't work on your problem with something else at the same time. We're not in boxes. We're not just machines. We are people. We are complex. And how Krishna is working with each of us and the devotees are working with each of us is going to, each of us is going to have a little different story and a little different journey. And some of us are going to struggle more with some things than with others also. Is that okay? Okay, it's almost 9:30 here. Are we?
Maybe
last question. Well, see if somebody else has a question. Is there anyone else who has a question? Any of the ladies?
What question? So you know, is that with animals?
Anybody else?
Could that be also the analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives of the fan, when you unplug the fan?
It gradually slows. Yeah.
Gradually slows down. And when you cut the root of a plant,
the whole thing gradually withers, yes. If you really go to the root, if you were to really go to the root of the desire for prema and honor immediately, everything else would be finished and you would become completely pure in a moment. But as I say, most of us are not able, most of us, we're not able to do that authentically. It can be done. But for most of us, that's not going to be an authentic way. Yes, Mother?
Well, the Vidavasan Thakur says you have to know how to sharpen the axe.
Yes.
And you have to know how to cut.
Yes.
I would imagine that when you're dealing with one of the particular issues that you outlined, it might not be that you just tackle it, it clicks, and you've got it. Maybe sometimes you're working on it and you see yourself doing it, and like, oh, this, that's right, and it's sort of a process, and it can take a long time where you're just noticing the same thing.
Yes.
Like, I'm instantly on level 5 now, I'm on level 6.
Yes, that's very true. And in education, we have 4 steps. So the first, and if I had a board here, I would draw it. The first step is called unconscious incompetence. The next is called conscious incompetence. The next is called conscious competence, and the next is called unconscious competence. Can you remember that? Unconscious incompetent. We have our steps here. This will help. Okay. So we have 4 steps. All right? So the first step, unconscious incompetent. Next step, conscious incompetent. Next step, conscious competent. Next step, unconscious competent. So at first, you're a mess and you don't know it. You have no idea that, you know, what you're talking about is mundane. Right? You think you're posting all these Krishna conscious things on Facebook and then they say, what word do you use the most? And you look at it and it's something like politics, you know. Oh my goodness. So you weren't even aware. Then you become aware. You start becoming aware. Wow, I just spent the last half an hour talking about how great I am. Or I just spent the last half an hour talking about movie stars. Or I spent the last, 4 hours listening to mundane. You become aware, and the problem doesn't go away, but you're aware of it. That is a painful, uncomfortable step. You end up with what we call cognitive dissonance, where you notice the disparity between your ideals and your behavior. And everybody wants to skip that step. Nobody wants conscious incompetence. Nobody. But generally, you have to have that step. Then the next is conscious competence. That's when you're intentionally doing the right thing. Okay, what am I supposed to talk about? They may go together. Oops, okay, let me do this. Oh, they're pulling me by the neck. Hey, devotees of Bhakabi. Okay, good. Hey, the other one's pulling me by the neck. Oh, they're pulling me by the neck. Right, okay. Hey, devotees of Bhakabi. Okay. You know, and it may be this conscious of what we're doing wrong, then consciously doing it right, and that's what sadhana bhakti means. It means a deliberate, conscious attempt to do the right thing, to be aware of the wrong thing and to do the right thing. It is uncomfortable, it feels somewhat artificial, it feels somewhat formal, there's a bunch of rules, and nobody likes it. Everybody wants to jump from unconscious incompetence to unconscious competence overnight. They want to just put the, you know, hypnotic recording under the pillow and you wake up and all the stuff is just gone. You know, I'm going to take one bath and out of it. Sorry. So, you know, there is some conscious competence. Oh, my mind is wandering. Oh, let me bring it back to Krishna. I'm chanting. What Krishna says, wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering, unsteady nature. And eventually, because what we're trying to do is natural for the soul, eventually it becomes automatic. Eventually it just becomes, it's just what you do. Eventually thinking about Krishna, meditating on Krishna is your default value. That even if someone is talking about, you know, the presidential election, you start thinking about something with Krishna. You feel? That your mind and your heart are just naturally going to Krishna. And after a while, it's so automatic, you're not even aware. You're focused so much on serving Krishna and you're focused so much on pleasing Krishna that you're hardly even aware that you're doing that. You're just absorbed in Krishna and in the service. And any you know, Mayan Arthas and this problem, it's gone. You're just absorbed in the service. So those are the steps. Now, having said that, it seems that what happens with these different difficulties is that at a certain point when we really face a particular difficulty, really face it and really see it, then Krishna removes it. And I give the analogy all the time. You know, you have something that you're struggling with, and you kind of deal with it, and it comes back, and you kind of deal with it, and it comes back. At a certain point, you really look at it and let go of it, and Krishna takes it away. And at that point, it is gone forever. So a lot of the struggle with things that keep coming back is frankly a symptom that we haven't fully faced it. When we fully, authentically face various steps, then they are gone forever. But generally, it takes us a lot of kind of practice and going back and forth before we're willing to really look things squarely in the eye and say, okay, this is what I need to do, whether it's a positive or negative thing. So I think we should stop now. It's 9:35, and I'm sure people need to get on with their day. Thank you very much.